no idea when dev starts on this.
Oh, me neither. Is it now?
It can't be now. There's no way. Wait, it's coming up. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Places. Places.
The history of film. At Batahooey, when the lights go dim. James Cagney to Nosferatu and stunts that shock you. And all the dirty tricks studios made. From Wings to Top Gun, movie stars and no ones. We're manic, crazy fans that leave no real a ton. Hollywood is film history in Hollywood. They chase the Oscar, but it's all a sham, just like Shaq and Kazam. All your dreams can come true. Film history, the history of film. All of it made for you.
Good God, that was terrible.
From 35 to 1941, the Columbia Pictures Stooge films are considered the peak Stooge days. This is like the... Your real
peak Stooge.
The peak Stooge, dude. Like, this was their graduation and 808s and heartbreaks. You know.
So during that all that time, they never made a full length movie.
They did. They made some features as well.
Okay.
They made everything. Mm. These guys were fucking everywhere. They were making short comedies. They're making features. They're doing radio. They're doing live stage performances. Mm. They are fucking like everywhere. I don't know. They had to have known how big they were. There's just no way.
Yeah,
there's
nah,
just
they,
no way.
They signed a deal.
This would be like if the Backstreet Boys were like, what? We're like popular, you know? Like, nearly every film produced during that like peak heyday of them became a classic in its own right. We're going to talk about a few of their movies. I figured I would like bring you just a few of their like, you know, big ones. You had Hoi Polloi in 1935. It adapted the premise
this
of...
This one's made up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean... Yeah.
I mean, everything's made up.
But... Yeah, everything. The world's made up, brother. Hoi Polloi in 1935 adapted the premise of Pygmalion with a stuffy professor making a bet that he can transform the uncultured trio into refined gentlemen.
Oh, that sounds like a great premise.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I want to watch that
yes,
right now.
Some of these I would actually watch. I watched the wrong Three Stooges movie. I watched some weird one where they were like... building a helicopter or some shit. It was terrible, but these actually sound pretty good. The Three Little Beers, get it? Three Little Beers in 1935 featured the Stooges running amok on a golf course to win prize money. There was, this one I gotta see, Disorder in the Court features the team as star witnesses in a murder trial. It's the Three Stooges are a murder... Are the murder witnesses. That's funny. That's good shit.
Yeah, hitting close to home.
Yeah, that's what it's...
The thing that happened, pretend that's not doing the movie.
Yeah, I'm curious to know what the crime was for that movie. Was it somebody getting beaten to death in an alleyway?
They're like, we didn't witness it. And he just like bonks the other, he bonks Mo on the head and Curly gouges his eyes out.
Yeah, these also like great premises for these Stooge movies.
Yeah, no, it keeps going, man. There was...
Jurassic Stooge.
There was In a Plumbing We Will Go. I gotta see this one. One of the team's quintessential comedies. This is like probably their most famous one ever. The Stooges are plumbers who nearly destroy a socialite's mansion, causing water to exit every appliance in the home, including an early television set. This one was also remade twice as Vagabond Loafers and Scheming Schemers. Sounds pretty funny to me, man. I don't know. You take an edible and watch that shit. That's going to be a good night. Watch the murder trial.
These
one
all
for
sound
sure.
Great. I'm going to need to do a Stoogeathon.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, in the 40s, they got into their Nazi stuff.
Right. Yeah.
They did.
They had their Kanye moment.
Yeah, they had their Kanye moment. Exactly. They had their career is very much like Kanye, you know.
The difference was they were making fun of the Nazis, not actively sympathizing.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
And they weren't bitching about contracts either.
Holy shit, man, for real. With the onset of World War II, the Stooges released several entries that poked fun at the rising Axis powers. You Nazi Spy in 1940 and its sequel, I'll Never Heil Again in 1941.
These are fucking titles out of a Mel Brooks movie. You tell me that it's Springtime for Hitler is the next one. I'll never heil again.
I'll never heil again. Oh, shit.
A musical comedy brought to you by the Three Stooges.
Oh, shit. But after the 40s, it sort of, after the Nazi stuff, they're kind of, their downfall kind of began. Mm. just like Kanye. you know, it couldn't last forever. We've been on this journey now for, I mean, this was, at this point, they've been at it for like a decade or so. And being that it was the 30s and 40s, somebody's got to die, you know. Mm. It just Ted Healy, there's got to be a justice paid in the universe for what happened to him. So one of these guys, their life contracts have to be up, you know. this time you don't get beaten to death, at least. That's good, by a vegetable man. So one of these stooges fucking died. We're going to talk about the death of old Curly.
Not Curly.
Curly,
dude.
Man. He was
that's the one who had the really bad origin story for his name in the first episode.
Yeah, yeah. He shaved his head because Ted Healy said he didn't look funny enough, so he shaved his head bald and apparently was like, oh, don't I look girly? Uh-huh. And then apparently Ted Healy heard Curly. I just always thought he called himself Curly because he was bald and it was funny because he didn't have fucking hair.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is.
These guys run so much fucking hair on
I'm telling you, dude. Nothing makes sense with these
nothing
motherfuckers.
Makes sense.
Everything,
they were just idiots. They were
just
in the special
idiots.
But
they were
fucking idiots.
They were idiots surrounded by death. They were like idiots like they were dumb and dumber.
Have
like,
you ever seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
Yes.
That's
dude.
What this is. The
yes.
real life.
They were just fucking idiots who everybody died around them.
Oh my
know?
God! These people are just running here killing themselves.
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
God,
man.
So good.
We're in a
oh
cult of mass suiciders.
There was like a little known Three Stooges short where they like accidentally agreed for Columbia Pictures to kill Ted Healy. You know, they're like, whoops, we didn't mean to say.
That's not the contract I thought I signed.
Oh, we didn't mean to green light his death, you know.
Oh, golly
gee, Curly. Speaking of Curly and death, Curly was like pretty much universally hailed as the most popular stooge. Everybody fucking loved Curly. He was
the
dude.
Chris Farley.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody loves a funny fat dude.
Yeah, exactly. And that's funny that you say that. So he shaved his head bald, of course. He had like childlike mannerisms, natural comedic charm. You know, he was a big hit with audiences, particularly children. The kids loved Curly. And there was a thing where like women liked Curly, but because he was funny. They did not like Curly in any other sort of way. Like, he was not a big hit with the ladies, which is kind of, I think, just he was a victim of his time. I think Curly nowadays could probably clean up all right. He wasn't a bad-looking dude, but he was kind of like the fat dude, you know? And he was like the goofy guy. They were all fucking ugly as sin. Don't get me wrong. The Three Stooges were, none of
them
were a
good-looking
bunch.
They weren't getting paid well enough for it to not matter.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so Curly was kind of like, he did not have a lot of luck in love, you know? And he had two bad marriages behind him. He was having a real effect on his mental and physical health. This thing that he was very unsuccessful with love. He was like the tortured clown, you know.
Tortured clown.
The tortured clown. That was Curly. He would never find love. And he developed a real affinity to drinking, eating a shit ton, and hiring company for the night. That was that was Curly's MO, you know.
Hey,
just get a bottle of Jack, a big ass steak, and a woman who will leave in the morning. You know? And he'd really ramp it up when they did live shows, which was about 7 months out of the year. So a lot of time spent drinking there, where he would just apparently he would get really hammered around these live shows that they would do. As soon as they get off stage,
a real Rat Pack situation.
Yeah, a real Rat Pack, a one man Rat Pack. You know, it was old Curly.
Just a rat.
Yeah.
Just a rat in a pack.
Just a rat in a pack, just getting fucking hammered with a hooker. His weight ballooned in the 1940s. He got really big, which, you know, also didn't help his chance with the ladies, I guess, at the time. Again, man.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, yeah. Just the vicious cycle.
Yeah.
His blood pressure became dangerously high. And by 1945, it was pretty clear that it was catching up to him, and his performances were suffering.
Did they know about blood pressure back then?
They were like,
signs on blood pressure back
well,
then.
Well, I guess when your eyes are bulging out of your head.
Yeah, they knew about blood pressure. They probably knew about blood pressure in the 1800s.
Oh, yeah. When your eyes start bulging out of your head because you ate fucking, you know, 10,000 milligrams of sodium the night before with that hooker that you were drinking with. I know they're not hookers anymore, but back in these days they were, let's be honest.
My blood hurts when it pumps.
I mean, you remember there's so many images of, like, you know, GIs in like a hospital with like the blood pressure thing.
It's like, well, those guys lost their legs to bombs. Curly was just losing his to, like, you know,
diabetes.
Sugar. Yeah.
I could feel the blood try to squeeze through the arteries. It's not quite getting there, but it hurts. Tell you that much.
It just hurts to exist right now. And he just did not quite have the stuff anymore, you know, between the fucking...
Oh, really? You're telling me the fat, incoherent drunk didn't have it anymore?
You lost your sparkle, Curly.
He wasn't on for the performance.
Yeah, he was in his Marlon Brando in the Isle of Dr. Moreau phase, you know. He was very much he was going out. He was done. You know, he was turning in his apron.
Elvis on the back nine.
he was Elvis on the toilet at this point. So during a 5-month hiatus from August 1945 through January 1946. So they do this 5-month hiatus from Columbia. Basically, Columbia says, like, go do your own thing for a bit. We'll get back to you. And the trio committed themselves to making a feature film at Monogram. Remember, we talked about Monogram pretty recently. I can't remember where. I can never remember where we talk about this shit anymore. But followed by a 2-month-long live appearance gig in New York City with performances 7 days a week. So you remember his whole thing. He liked to drink during these live performances. So now they just got basically a 2-month contract of doing 7 performances a week live. So a lot of time for drinking for old Curly is basically what this adds up to. Oh, Curly, this is not a good situation for the man who likes to drink during these gigs.
Or it's a really good situation.
It's
like, oh, this is perfect. This is cohesive to my habits.
So during this run in New York, Curly is doing his Curly thing. Very, very, very alcohol soaked.
Hell yeah.
He's just
like, how convenient. I already have all my books that I'm drinking 7 days a week.
Yeah, exactly. That basically was what was happening. He was like, well, I guess now I'm just a permanent drunk, you know. Yeah, yeah. And he is now a permanent drunk. He enters.
What if it's because he had stage fright and didn't tell anybody?
Oh, shit. Maybe. Or probably just haunted by Ted Healy's death that he caused. You know.
I was thinking that too. It's just like, he's like, we shouldn't have done it, guys. And he takes another shot.
They're like, Curly, man, you can't drink him back to life.
It's blood money.
It's blood money, and my blood hurts. So during this run in New York, and now, mind you, this is only like a 2-month thing, but Curly has turned it into a whole fucking fiasco here. He's very drunk. He gets married to a woman during their live show run where they're doing 7 days a week. He somehow managed to fucking find some time to marry this woman in October.
He just black out instead of going to Vegas. So Elvis get married.
Exactly.
So was it one of his nighttime visitors?
I'm pretty sure it was one of his nighttime visitors, because it was a very disastrous fucking marriage that he enters into. And it was his third one, by the way. Curly was not a fun story. Like, Curly wound up maybe more tragic than Ted Healy at this point.
It was all downhill since he shaved his head.
Yes, it was. The moment he shaved his head to be funny for Ted Healy was the moment that Curly lost his soul, you know? And the moment that his blood began to hurt was right then and there. His heart hurt long before his arteries. And so he enters this disastrous third marriage in October 1945. And in November, the Stooges returned to L.A. They finished off this New York gig, and now they got 2 months to chill and rest before they got to report back to fucking Columbia and start making shit again. And this is supposed to be normally what they would do. This is Curly would normally kind of dry out during this time. They would go do a live thing. He would do his drinking thing during the live thing.
He would do his drinking thing.
He would do his drinking thing. He would do his whoring thing. They'd get back to L.A. and he'd be like, all right, time to dry out. Time to get focused.
Yeah.
Well, he enters this crazy, horrible marriage with probably one of his ladies of the night, and he does not stop drinking. So they get back to L.A. and they're like, cool, Curly's going to dry out. And he's like, actually, I'm going to keep that drinking thing going. And now we're not working. What if I didn't stop drinking, dude? What if I didn't?
It was a radical idea. But found out that they do sell alcohol in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He's like, well, I'm just going to keep this party a going. And then maybe I'll start drinking while we're on set, too. You know? My blood hurts. So they get back to Columbia, and Curly fucking stumbles his drunk ass that's now, like, you know, 100 pounds heavier back onto set at Columbia. It's like, I'm ready to be the stooge, you know? And he's just fucking, they do 6 films with him in this condition, just being drunk fucking Curly. They ranged from Monkey Businessman to Half-Wit's Holiday. And apparently, if you watch Half-Wit's Holiday, they say, like, it is very clear. Like, Curly just ain't all there anymore, you know? Curly has left the fucking building, you know? Which is funny, because there's a movie called Half-Wit's Holiday.
Drunk man if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. That man is drunk. Like, that man is not okay, you know? He's going through, clearly, a very bad marriage. To make matters worse, speaking of his marriage, while filming these shorts, to make matters even fucking worse for Curly, he separated and divorced his wife after just, like, months of marriage to this woman. He got married to this woman in New York, being hammered doing this live show, goes back to L.A., keeps the drunk going, goes back to Columbia, divorces, basically. And apparently it just fucking, it just wrecked him, dude. So he's just a fucking wreck of a human being. And during the final day of filming Half-Wit's Holiday on May 6, 1946, Curly has now been married, divorced, is very drunk. The man suffers a fucking debilitating stroke on set of this fucking project, ending his 14-year career. Over. It's done.
Is he deceased?
No, he wasn't dead yet.
Oh.
But he was fucked up.
Ah.
He had a big giant stroke. And, you know, Columbia was like, at least it was the last day of filming. We got that. Another weird coincidence.
I was about to say, dude, he started to become a problem for Columbia, so Columbia made him not a problem anymore.
The very last day of the very last film that he owed on his contract, he had a fucking huge stroke.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think old Albert Broccoli had something to do with this one, too. He stroked out on us.
He stroked.
But, you know, as would become tradition for the Stooges, the show must go on.
He just stopped drinking.
He stopped drinking for like a minute.
He's like, finally, I don't have to perform anymore. I can get sober. He dries out and just has a stroke immediately.
Yeah, his blood realized there was no alcohol left in it and fucking freaked out.
Natural causes related to alcoholism.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They found Curly beat up in a back alleyway from alcohol. And as would become tradition for the Stooges, the show must go on, baby. Mo brought his brother Shemp. You remember Shemp?
No.
Okay. We talked about him in the first episode.
First.
He was one of the first Stooges.
Yeah.
He was one of the OGs.
Yeah.
So basically, they call Shemp. Shemp's off doing his own thing by now. Shemp's got like a whole career solo. He's doing his Shemp thing.
Shimping around,
and they were like, "Shimp, man, come back." Curly fucked up real bad. Curly couldn't quite hold himself together for very long. You know, we haven't renewed our contract at all with Columbia in 20 years, so that might be a part of it. But the man had a fucking stroke on us, and we're fucked.
Hey, Shrimp, let me ask you three questions. First one, does your blood hurt? Yeah. Second one, how's you drinking these days?
How's you drinking these
Third
days?
Third one is, do you want a job?
Shrimp's just like, well, look, man, I mean, it's been the 1940s. My drinking is like every other man. I have a martini for lunch, a scotch for lunch, a beer for lunch, and then a whiskey for between lunch and dinner, and then a whiskey for dinner, and then another martini for dinner.
Oh, man, it's basically
a handle of gin for dessert.
They're like, oh, well, so you're sober. Okay, yeah, yeah, good. You're ready to go.
You could have just said sober, kid.
Come on, kid. Make it short here. We don't have all day. So they were like, Shimp, man, come back. And you can just take Curly's place while he heals up from his massive alcohol-related marriage stroke that he had. And Shimp kind of, you know, he doesn't even really want to come back, but he's like, fuck it, I'll do it for old Curly. Uh-huh. We used to have some good drinking times back in the day.
Curly's the only one with a conscience.
Yeah, yeah, dude, yes. The Ted Healy incident haunted Curly.
Everybody else was totally fine with it. He's just like eating him up inside. What a great movie this would be.
Dude, right? Holy shit, man. Interesting. I can see, I'd see like fucking, oh man, I just forgot his name. Will Ferrell's partner back in the day. They used to do everything.
C. Riley?
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
C. Riley. Yeah. John C. Riley.
He already did the Laurel and Hardy movie, though. We'll do Laurel and Hardy one day.
Cool.
Kind of the same shit. Comedy duo, darkness surrounding them, you know.
Blood pains.
Blood pains. The abyss slowly closing in while you're making yuck yucks, you know.
This Three Stooges story for Hollywood is like JFK for, like, you know, everything else. The files are still sealed. Yeah. Columbia's not going to let us make this movie. We're going to end up with strokes.
Yeah, the mysterious dark shroud around our early comedy. So, yeah, man, they call Shimp back. The game, they were hoping for a full recovery. They thought Curly was just, like, kind of going to take it easy for a bit. But Curly never did fully recover. He never appeared in a film again, except for he had a single cameo appearance in the third film after Shimp returned to the trio called Hold That Lion. And really the story goes, he's back up and walking around. He's fucking, Curly is like kind of back to life. Not quite all there yet to be performing, but he's at least like up and about. And he goes and visits the set. And while he's there, the director said, wouldn't it be funny if we got all four of you guys into a scene? And so he makes this, like, cameo appearance. And
that's cool.
By all accounts, looks horrible. Yeah, like, he's on death's door.
So wait, in lore, did they replace him or they just called Shimp Curly?
No, they called him Shimp, but it was just, man... They were just a machine, baby.
Okay,
like,
right,
the
yeah.
show goes on. We don't stop.
Yeah.
Ted Healy's dead. Sign the contract. Curly has his fucking blowout.
Sign
Get
the contract.
Shimp in. Sign the contract. You know, not for any more money, but sign the contract. You know,
I love imagining in my head that I'm just going to the Stooges and being like, it's called the Three Stooges,
yes.
You fucking morons.
Yes, dude. Yes.
Find another Stooge.
Find another Stooge. I'm not.
This Stooge is going to go to Beverly Hills Police Department and give him some info.
That's right. We're not re-trademarking. We're not doing the Two Stooges. It's the Three Stooges, goddammit. I don't care what your fucking name is. Curly, Shimp, McGee, I don't give a shit. Get in there and be a goddamn stooge or else you're going to be Ted Healy'd all over this place. You
Listen,
know?
If you got to go get a scarecrow and shove your arm up his ass to make him move,
right.
That's what you're going to do.
You think we made Curly's blood hurt? We're going to make yours hurt even worse. Get back on set. So that was the only film that contained all
Curly
four.
Curly don't got a drinking problem. He's got a listening problem.
He's got a book. Curly's problem's about to be a lot worse than drinking. My blood hurts.
Oh, what do you know? He broke his own legs.
Well,
he suffered a couple strokes from my 9-iron.
He said he wanted to retire, so we gave him a hospital room to think about it.
Actually, that's kind of exactly what happened. So Curly remained ill until his death from additional strokes. in January 1952. The man stroked all the way the fuck out. This man stroked to death. Again, I'm going to tell you a lot about strokes in this episode because they happen to a lot of the Stooges.
Wait, really?
Yes. Yes, dude. All the people in this story wound up dying of strokes, mysteriously.
Like, are they, dare I say, different strokes?
Hey, different strokes. Dude. Yeah,
that's,
man.
That's hilarious.
Every person that I've mentioned in this whole thing has just died of a stroke at some point. I mean, it's... Very interesting. Very
wow.
interesting.
Fascinating.
To add insult to injury, after Curly's death in 1952, Columbia Pictures had a fucking stroke of its own. They decided to... That was a bad joke. They decided to downsize its short subject division. They were sort of having some money issues at the time. And so they're downsizing the division that basically handles the Three Stooges. You know, it resulted in producer Hugh McCollum being discharged, director Edward Burns resigning out of loyalty to McCollum, screenwriter Elwood Ullman, who had worked closely with Burns, also resigned. Burns had also been contemplating his resignation for some time, as he and Jules White, this guy's about to come up a lot, Jules White, he and Jules White were often at odds. Jules White was a director with their short content division, and he directed a lot of the Stooges stuff along with a lot of those people that I just mentioned.
I see.
Basically, everyone but Jules White fucking fucks off. They leave Columbia Picture, the whole department kind of gets cleaned out, and really all that's left is Jules White, this dude, and he becomes the director and the producer for all the Stooges stuff to come. Now, after the post Curly era of the Three Stooges is now being handled by this dude.
Reorganization of the
listen, yeah. Your tactics are killing off the Stooges. You gotta switch things up here.
The whole department found out what happened to Curly, and they were like, "We don't want any more to do with this. We're out." Like, so
the department did what Curly could not do, which was lose some weight. So we're on a much thinner, less blood pressure-y organization around here.
Yeah, Curly couldn't cut the fat, so we're doing it at Columbia. Our blood hurts too. We're getting rid of the old blood. In with the new. We couldn't
just
get
less blood.
We couldn't get Curly any new blood, but we can get Columbia some. So now Jules White has taken over the Three Stooges stuff, and quality is just going to shit. Like, it's just he's not doing the Three Stooges. He's not keeping the Three Stooges standard here.
Also, like,
you know?
How do you fuck up the Three Stooges?
For real.
Also,
for real.
It seems like the simplest formula, and just point a camera at them, yep, and let them go.
I think the problem is probably more just like the times have changed, and the Stooges don't know how to change with the times.
It's even more mysterious. More mystery.
I was like, that wasn't that mysterious. That was very logical.
Yeah, that was very logical.
Pretty expecting.
Too logical.
They were still okay. I have a conspiracy theory about what happened here. So what happened was this dude, White, Jules White, he takes over, and basically the shorts, they said it became increasingly mechanical, frequently substituted violent sight gags for story and characterization. He's getting away from the old pluck the eyeball, you know, mallet on the head shit, and he's wanting to go for more like long form comedy. And production was now also significantly faster. With the former, they used to do these in like 4 days. They would just churn them out. 4 days, we film these things. This motherfucker comes in, 2 days. That's all we need. We're doing 2 days. He cuts the filming period in half, and to be even more cheap, he would create a new Stooge short, new with quotes around it, by borrowing footage from the old ones.
Whoa.
So he is now setting it in a slightly different storyline and filming new scenes, but cutting in like old shit along
with
it. Whoa. See, he cuts to a different frame, and it's Curly.
Like, wait
and
a minute.
Cut back, and it's shifting. Like, what?
That is very funny that you just said that. That is absolutely about to come up.
Of course it is.
That is.
Yo, we've been on one this episode, yes, by the way, with our predictions.
Yes, the predictions have been on fucking point. So at first,
all he needed was a month off.
Yeah, we're sharp now. We're sharp. At first, he would be really sneaky about recycling this old footage. You could hardly tell. He would like reuse only like a single sequence of old film, something that had never been released. You know, and he would sort of slip it in there.
Some cutting room floor stuff.
The cutting room floor stuff, and he would re-edit it so cleverly that it was not easy to detect. That was at first, but as he went, the shorts became cheaper, and the recycling became more obvious, with as much as 75% of the runtime consisting of old footage. Hardly any of it was new. He got to where he could make a Three Stooges short in a day.
Holy shit.
He would shoot some shit with them.
Whatever we got time for, I'll fill in the rest in post.
Exactly.
Short.
Yes. So what I think was happening is he was getting the budget for these shorts, he was cutting it down to where he could make it for, he would hardly have to spend fucking any of it and just pocket the rest
of
it.
That makes sense, yeah. That makes sense.
What, I mean, are they going to ask him about it? You know?
Yeah, there's no one else in this apartment. We fired everyone else.
Exactly.
Everybody's gone. The Three Stooges.
I am Queens Boulevard. For Entourage fans out there. Yeah, I think that's what was happening, though. Again, man, all the conspiracies.
Hollywood accounting is how it's finest. Like,
they're not conspiracies. On this show, we call them fun facts.
Fun facts. That's right. And then, in 1955, 3 years after the death of old Curly, at the ripe old age of 60 years old, Shemp is in the back of a taxi cab with his buddy after they just went and watched a boxing match. And he fucking dies of a heart attack right there in the back of the cab.
Damn.
That third stooge was a curse, man.
Yeah. It's Shemp started asking too many questions.
Yeah. He started asking, where's that other? Why are our movies just being recycled?
Yeah. Why you keep cutting to the fat guy?
Curly's been dead. You can't show him anymore.
I thought you were going to say he hung himself in the back of the taxi cab.
I wouldn't blame him.
That's a very funny punchline. Yeah. Like, how'd he die? I hung himself in the back of a taxi cab.
Back of a taxi cab.
Shemp started asking, why hasn't our pay been raised since the Great Depression?
Yeah.
Why?
My God. That makes sense, too. Shemp comes in the fold after Curly.
This doesn't add up.
Yes. He's like, why is our contract still from the fucking 30s? And they're like, Shemp, don't ask. Trust us. Don't ask.
I left a very profitable solo career for this.
Yes.
And now they're just reusing old footage of the fat man.
Yes. They hung him in the back of a taxi cab. They fucking Epstein'd his ass. So at this point, Shemp dies, Curly's dead, the show's over, right? Like, Mo is like, okay, like, curtains, it's it. Like, the Stooges is done. The Stooges are fucking dead. Curly's out, Shemp's out, all my brothers are dying around me. Let's fucking hang this shit up. And Columbia Pictures was like, you know what ain't dead? Your fucking contract, Mo. All right? The show must go on, baby.
Bring me another stooge.
Bring me another stooge.
The money man is here. Bring in the stooges.
That's what the movie's about. It's about them going to find new replacement stooges.
Yes, yeah, and killing them. Yeah, the money man is here. Bring in the stooge. Bring in Tremblay. So, because Columbia, thing is, they owed 8 stooge shorts for the year, and they had only 4 of them completed. So Jules White had to figure out, and this is what Columbia told him after Shemp died, you got to figure out how to make 4 more of these bad boys with Shemp.
Weekend at Shemp's?
Weekend at Shemp's.
Wait, I don't understand. They're only taking 1 day to shoot each short. They've only worked 4 days throughout the whole thing.
Listen, that body is like prime for 4 days. They can go ahead and put some makeup on them, put them in a nice suit.
They only shoot like once every other month? Like, what the fuck?
So listen to this shit. This gets fascinating. This gets fascinating. Recycled footage of Shemp The man's body is not cold yet. They are recycling footage of this man combined with new footage of a supporting player at Columbia named Joe Palma, who doubled for him using like makeup and shit to look like Shemp. And they just cut together old footage of Shemp with this man in makeup to look like Shemp, and they shimped him. They re-shimped.
My favorite part is like these executives are like smoking a cigar, and they're like, the audience is fucking idiots. They're never gonna know the difference. They're morons. They believe what we tell them to believe.
These guys have to just
yes
do act with
act
this.
With their dead friend,
with their friend who died, like Moe's brother was in his ship, and Moe is on stage with who would they would this would be. Eventually coined the fake Shemp. And Mo's like,
that sounds like a fucking cryptocurrency.
Hey, fake Shemp.
Fake Shemp.
Move a little to the left. They just call him fake Shemp.
Yes. Hey, fake Shemp. Shemp is dead.
Mo, stop crying.
Yeah, dude. For real. Mo, it's not real Shemp. Your brother died. Remember?
What are you crying about?
What are you crying about? You were just at his funeral. It's clearly not him. We didn't do what the one guy wanted to do, which was pull him out of the casket and fucking weaken yeah. at Shimpers.
Listen, if practical effects had his way, yeah. we're gonna rig that body up.
Yeah, man.
Now make with the chuckles.
Now make with the yuck yucks, Mo. Get the tear out of your eye. You wanna be curlied?
You want a stroke?
You want a stroke? Yeah. Yeah. We'll stroke you in the back of a taxi cab too. So this was called this was called the fake Shemp. And I'm gonna tell you about
that is the name of the movie, too.
The name of the movie, the fake Shemp. I will tell you about the fake Shemp. A fake Shemp is now a term in Hollywood. It is a type of body double who appears in a film as a replacement for another actor or person, usually when the original actor has died or is unable or unwilling to reprise their role. And there have been fake Shemps over the years. John Candy died while he was still filming Wagons East. They fake Shemped his ass. They John Candied someone up real quick, sent his ass to the stage, and he John Candied for the rest of the movie.
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker is the most famous fake Shemp. That was
his brother, right?
Yeah, his brother. They CGI'd Paul Walker's fucking face over his brother, and they fake Shemped his ass all the way through the rest of Furious 7. You know,
you think they were on the set with the bullhorn yelling out, "All right, fake ship to
fake
one,
ship. Fake ship." Another brother story. They're like, go act like your dead brother for us, fake Shemp.
No, it'll be great. It's an homage. It'll love it.
But most
we
importantly,
go down
your brother was on the contract.
That's right.
You are on the contract.
Yeah, yeah. It's all real sweet. But most importantly, we don't lose any money. A very famous fake Shemp of someone who was alive, 1989.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
Doesn't this defeat the purpose of the definition of fake Shemp?
So remember, a fake Shemp, which by the way, the term was coined by Sam Raimi. Sam Raimi is the guy who came up. So way later, after the fake Shemp happened, Sam Raimi he harked back to what happened to Shemp and called it the fake Shemp, and that became what we know it as. You know the story about Back to the Future Part 2 with Crispin Glover?
Yes.
So. Zemeckis, Robert Zemeckis, wants to go make Back to the
Zemeckis.
Future Part 2. Zemeckis, either way. I don't fucking know. Ray Donovan. And Crispin Glover, he asked Crispin Glover to come reprise his role, you know, in the sequel. Mm-hmm. And basically, Crispin Glover, fucking weirdo, didn't want to do the movie anymore.
Which character was he?
He was the dad.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Minor
nerdy
role.
Dad.
Yeah, the nerdy dad.
Very minor role.
Yeah. So, Zemeckis fake shimped his ass without asking.
Oh.
Took a bunch of old footage from the first one, put in a stand-in to do some filling work, and fake shimped his ass back into the movie. Crispin Glover is back in the movie whether he fucking wants to be or not.
That's so funny. He doesn't get paid anymore for it.
Yeah. Well, that became a thing. So the George McFly character appeared in the movie. He used some previously filmed footage, blah, 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 you know, interspliced. And this guy who wore prosthetics, including a false chin, nose, and cheekbones, used various methods such as background, sunglasses, blah, 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 to resemble Glover. And Glover filed a lawsuit against the producers, including Steven Spielberg, on the grounds that they neither owned his likeness nor had permission to use it, which, yeah. Like, they put this man in a movie after he said no, you know? And then he was like, why? You can't do that. Due to Glover's lawsuit, there are now clauses in the Screen Actors Guild collective bargaining agreements that state that producers and actors are not allowed to use such methods to produce the likeness of other actors. And so that he was the reason for that. He also got fucking shit canned. He was like black holed for the rest of his life.
That makes sense. It's like, yeah, okay. If you want to go down this road, we can go down this road.
We can Ted Healy this real fast. Yeah.
You'll never work again.
He never did.
Congratulations. I hope you're happy about like making a bitching about this bit part that no one even remembers.
Yeah. He was a real weird guy too. He's got some interviews out there that are fucking nuts. But yeah, fake shimp, Paul Walker. That was the most, you know, probably the most famous one. 2016 film Rogue One. The 1977 likenesses of Peter Cushing and Carrie Fisher were recreated using CGI over body doubles.
Right.
They fake shimped that real quick.
Yeah.
And, using processes that Lucasfilm would not divulge. Mm. With Guy Henry in... yeah, which, I mean, I think
they
can...
They just have clones
in
underground at Skywalker Ranch.
They have the real shimps under there. They just clone
Disney
all these big
does
actors.
Does own their likenesses.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah, they own their human. Their human
You're mine
bodies.
You're now, bitch! Oh!
Similarly, for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, footage of Fisher shot for The Force Awakens was superimposed onto a digital body. And, yeah, those are all the real famous fake shimps.
Nice.
So, I'm going to start wrapping it up here. This is we've gone way into the weeds.
So, wait, after they fake shimped him up, was there another third stooge? They the Stooges
eventually just all the Stooges became shimps and there's just a completely new lineup.
And they just get dumber and dumber as they go. Like the clones are getting worse, you know?
Oh my God.
Yes, there were. There were
two more
Stooges. I'm not even going to talk about them. We don't have time.
Did they also die of strokes?
They died of fucking strokes, Drake.
No!
Yes.
Both of them!
Mo and Larry were mainstays throughout the ensemble's nearly 50-year run, and the pivotal third stooge was played by Shimp, then Drunk Curly, then Shimp again, and then he died, and later on, two guys named Joe Besser and Curly Joe Dorita.
So a new Curly.
A new Curly.
How
balls.
Many fucking Curlies,
how many Curlies
existed in 1930s, and, whatever, 1940s?
And the balls on this man to become a third stooge and name himself Curly after he knows what happened to the last fucking Curly.
How long did these other two last?
Died of strokes much immediately.
Not as well, long as their contract.
They lasted through their contract with Columbia.
Wait, were they known? Like, did they just pull them off the streets? Were these family friends? Like, how they assembled these other two stooges?
They were Ted Healy's friends. You know,
they went to the local bar and they found the drunkest motherfuckers.
They found him at the Trocadero.
Hey, does your blood hurt? I got a contract for you.
That has a whole story. I'm sure some stooge pros out there know the story. I don't know where these motherfuckers came from. What
That's
I do know
insane.
Is they. What I do know is, on January 9th, 1970, Larry suffered a paralyzing stroke.
Oh, my God.
Ending his acting career while he was in the middle of doing a pilot for a TV series that they were shooting with him. He fucking had a stroke on set. In 1975, he suffered yet another stroke and died. And months after Larry has his stroke and dies, Mo died of lung cancer. And he just went ahead and went out too. So 1975, we lost Larry and Mo.
Wow. What was the most recent Stooge movie? What's the newest Stooge movie?
The newest Stooge movie, it had to be, well, let's see. That's a good question, actually.
While you look that up, I'm just going to say, to any actor out there right now, if Columbia approaches you for a Stooge reboot, say no.
And you remember they did that thing. They did the Three Stooges movie with Will Sasso. I never saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was. It was like a Three Stooges reboot.
Wow.
If Will Sasso. I was about to say, if Will Sasso has a fucking stroke, I guess we know. Let me see. Oh, man. I don't know. This is going to be kind of a hard one to find. Last Three Stooges movie.
Here, we'll just look up Moe's discography.
Yeah.
Moe.
Discography. IMDb.
Moe, Three Stooges, Three Stoogi.
Stooge.
Oh, here we go.
Wikipedia.
Don't have a stroke?
Yeah.
How funny would that be if that
don't
was
have
name?
A stroke. The final comedy produced was Flying Saucer Daffy, filmed on December 19th through 20th, 1957. Several days later.
You know what else happened in 1957? Roswell.
Oh, shit. And they all died. Which one
they
was
didn't
it
die. About? They just went home.
That's right. They just went to the big stooge in the sky.
The aliens came and took their people back, and they just left these dead corpses. And they're like, I don't know, you got a stroke.
Well, speaking of strokes, so as for the remaining original replacement stooges, Joe Besser died of a stroke, 1988. So he went quite a while. Wow. He went quite a long life there. He died in 1988 of a stroke, followed by Joe Derita, who had pneumonia on July 3rd, actually. But then there was another guy, which I don't know how you do this at this point. Everybody's dead. Emil Sitka was announced as a stooge, but never performed as such because he died on January 16th, 1998, 6 months after being disabled by a stroke.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Are strokes that common?
No!
Back then, yeah.
I guess so.
Back in the 90s?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
These strokes went from the 50s all the way to the 90s. Like, these dudes were just stroking out left and right. Is it that stressful to be a stooge? Good Lord.
It's that stressful to work for Columbia.
Yeah, that's very true.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It was because even in the 90s, they were trying to do the $600 a week contract from the 30s. And he had a fucking stroke when he read it.
Instead of rent controlled, you're contract controlled.
Oh, my God.
I mean, look, you know, these episodes are never going to end without them all dying, right? Like, when we do an episode on someone from the past, they're going to die at the end. Just know that. It doesn't
Holy
often happen
shit.
Where all of them die of the same cause, but of the same mysterious strokes.
Is this the darkest episode yet?
And I was like, no, man, the Three Stooges isn't going to be very dark. Boy, was I wrong.
Lighthearted comedy.
Can the title of this episode be My Blood Hurts? So, yeah, now they're all dead. So
But somehow they're still turning out movies.
These guys, they left a legacy behind that is insurmountable. And as long as this episode was, I hardly even scratched the surface, man.
Yeah, if you want a stooge update, a stooge redux,
yes.
Let us know. Maybe we'll stooge again maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe we can go even deeper. I mean,
I don't
want to
have a stroke.
Yeah, for real. I mean, maybe not, man. Maybe
we uncovered too much.
Yeah, I feel like I need to go sage
if
after this.
If one of the three of us dies of a stroke for the next couple months, just know Columbia did it.
Oh, no, are we the Three Stooges of film history podcast?
Yeah, you know, we'll get a Ouija board and we'll do a seance and channel the Three Stooges.
Oh my God, man. Yeah, if I die, just take a bunch of old footage you didn't use of me and, you know, and
the
reconstruct
outtakes,
yeah,
all
the outtakes.
Plug in outtakes.
You guys just respond to my outtakes and act like it's a real podcast still going. Just fake ship me real quick. Oh shit. But yeah. Yeah, man, that was it. They all died. And it's sort of like, you know, and it was like, I don't know. Like I said, it was a running theme for them for a very long time, was just like, keep the fucking show going. You know, I think that was, I think that's what we take away from the Stooges.
The show must go on.
The show must go on. The yuck yucks need to keep coming. You know, keep making them laugh even when you're crying. You know,
and they don't stop coming, and they don't stop coming.
So much to do, so much to see, so many strokes to have in the back seat of the taxi cab. Oh man. Yeah, that was it. I do want to see the one where they're plumbers, though. That sounds very funny.
I like to see all of them. The murder trial one especially.
The murder trial one. Oh my God. Especially if they make any sort of reference to any sort of Ted Healy-style murder, we know exactly what the fuck happened.
Well, until I'm found dead at a Trocadero due to natural causes for my stroke, you can find me on Instagram at Drake Cummings, on Twitter at Drake_Cummings, on TikTok at Hollywood Drake, Skits of Drake, and Drake L. Cummings. So I am full in on content this year.
Nice.
I have been producing at least one piece of content for each of those three TikTok accounts, and then the best of whatever comes out of those three gets posted on Instagram, YouTube, and Snapchat, and whatever, everywhere else on the internet that you can find my name by typing it in. It's been great. I'm really proud of the reels on Instagram Reels, especially. Those are mostly the skits from my skit account.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we were talking earlier about like producing good work under pressure. I haven't had a whole lot of time to like pre-record a lot of these, so a lot of them I've had to just like, I have an hour for my lunch break. I need to write and shoot a script and edit it and get this posted like during my lunch break. So it's been a lot of like rapid creative prototyping and stuff, and it's like nice. Some good stuff has come out of it. I like, well, come out of my lunch break, I'm like, I can't believe I did this in an hour. This is decent. So just check that out.
Hell yeah.
The Hollywood Drake one's gonna, I might retitle these, because you can change your name on TikTok, but Hollywood Drake is video game specific content. It's gonna be hyper focused, niching down video games. It's the one I have the biggest following on because it's the main one I've been doing. Skits of Drake is just gonna be where you get your yucks. And then Drake L. Cummings is just gonna be more of like a traditional influencer page. Vlogs. I'll learn how to dance at some point, so nice. I'll get on those TikTok dances. Thirst traps once I get my abs. You know what I mean? Like, so if you want vlogging, thirst trapping abs, you know, follow me there.
All right.
And,
I'll definitely follow you there then. I want to see those abs.
Yeah. Dev, where can they find your abs?
Beneath my layer of fat. Instagram, Sailor_Dev. Twitter, AbracadabraDev. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah. You can find me at James Wyatt Scott, Jimmy DeLoy, depending on where you're looking for us. You can find us at Film History, The History of Film, or FHHF Podcast. What's up, Dave?
Oh, I wanted to give a shout-out real quick. Everyone, if you got an interest, you should check out The Astral Plane Drifter and go follow us on IG and all the social medias. It is a film that Abracadabra Films is producing. We're shooting in Joshua Tree in February, so follow along on the journey. It is a 1970s-themed Western sci-fi kung fu comedy.
I love that.
In the style of Cheech and Chong meets Barbarella.
I love it.
It's really great.
Barbarella, man. We got to do that episode one day.
Oh, yeah. I got to watch
Mainly
that,
just
yeah.
so you watch the movie.
Okay. I don't watch any of these, but I will for this one.
Barbarella will make you trip balls and horny all at the same time. That's awesome, though, man. I cannot wait.
I forgot to plug that, so yeah.
I can't wait to come visit set.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. And we'll probably have stuff to do if you guys want to be like a space vampire or a lizard person or something.
Cameos.
I always wanted to be a space vampire.
Yeah.
So. We got Chad Coltrane is in it. He's been Walking Dead and a bunch of stuff.
Nice.
One of the original creators of Aqua Teen is a co-producer.
Sweet.
We get some cool talent attached.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So. I wish I could have gotten an audition. It's cool.
afford you. It's too low budget.
Gotcha. I see. Yeah.
Film History Road Trip to Joshua Tree.
That we should do. We'll be out there for 3 weeks.
That is something I'd like to do in the new year. I would love for us to take the show on the road. Not to do anything. Just like, I'd like... We rent a cabin up in Big Bear and we drink a bunch and then we record an episode.
You know, yeah.
we go to Joshua Tree and we drink a bunch, then we record an episode.
We'll maybe I'll look at the schedule, but you guys can come up and we'll do an episode with Mike, who's the writer and creator of the movie, because Mike has been a stuntman in Hollywood for like 30 years.
Oh, nice. Cool.
He's been in everything you can imagine, he's got so much crazy stories, and he had like an injury, like a shoulder injury or something, that prevented him from working, and while he was recovering, he wrote this script.
Whoa.
Nice. So it's like really cool to see the culmination of a lot of these jokes and bits and like kind of stage combat-y, action-y kind of stuff from sat in the back of his head for years be put all into this. It was really great. So everybody should check it out.
I can't wait, man. Fuck cool. Let's film this shit.
Hell yeah.
Well, you can find us all over the place that I was talking about. I don't know, man. Google me. You can also find me drinking after the live show. Because we know what we did, boys. We know what we fucking did.
Had a stroke.
Had a stroke on film history.
The history of film.
You know what I'm talking about.